Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with editor Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this absolutely perfect winter day? We've actually got proper snow and none of that sticky old custard stuff.
I know, it's a better way. Might as well just be what it's going to be, winter.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
I'm well, Tom.
Oh, sure. And we're getting it in wholesale lots, and well, that's okay, too. It costs less when you get it in bulk.
That's right.
Let's start out with our first story here. It's about the Two Harbors waterfront plans. They're on simmer.
Yeah, I thought that was a catchy one. Simmer is somewhere pre-boiling over and also calming down. It's a bit ambiguous, isn't it?
It is.
And that's the feeling. Yeah, it's the feeling that I have gotten. I talked to a lot of people for this article. You know, sometimes I just speak to one individual who's somewhat of an expert on a topic or in their domain and get their point of view. But this particular topic, and when I'm talking about the Two Harbors waterfront for the purposes of this article, I'm talking Agate Bay. To me, it's been interesting that for as long as I have been a resident of Two Harbors, there have been plans thought up and sprung up and talked about. And one thing everyone agrees on is we ought to do something with the waterfront. What to do and how to do it is another matter. And it seems like things get sidelined and sit around. And at the moment, we're in a transition to the new year with two new council members and awaiting a decision in the spring for who our mayor will be. And it seems like there's some interest and energy about what to do next with this. The city has hired a lobbyist to talk to legislators at the state capitol about developing the waterfront and how to do it. One of the main things queued up is a transfer of the MnDOT property, which runs roughly from about the edge of the breakwall property where you'd say the public water access is, all the way over to the Edna G, as you know well, Tom. And transferring that to the city, there's history there. There's lots to this story, and lots of people have different ideas, and I just thought it was time we all got talking about it. So what part of it do you want to hear more about? Because there's lots.
Well, first, I guess what I need to do is clear something up. I was wondering if maybe when you said MnDOT, you misspelled DNR.
I meant DNR, Tom. Thanks for the correction.
Oh, okay, sure. You bet.
Department of Natural Resources.
You bet.
You are correct.
Well, as tugboat fanatic in town here, I tell you that I have one very specific plan for one very specific a small part of the waterfront, and that includes having the tugboat safely perched on it or in it in such a way that it's visible as people come down Waterfront Drive. They come between the two locomotives, and they'll see the upper part of the tugboat sticking up somewhere in the vicinity of Van Hoven Park, and so that would be a kind of a steam feature of the waterfront, if you include everything that's visible from the water, you know, which would be the museum and the backside of the parking area, basically from the Mallee locomotive and the three-spot locomotive down to where your feet get wet. I consider that all part of the waterfront.
Absolutely.
I want to see.
And I understand.
Sure, go ahead.
There's going to be a presentation made to the council in January regarding that very thing. And, you know, it's a piece of the puzzle for sure. Recommendations. There's been a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of effort and some money put into developing this idea of preserving the Edna G as this icon of Two Harbors, our emblem, our brand. And
sure.
To have it out of the water would preserve it for much better than leaving it in the water with no intents and purposes of going anywhere anyway. So I'm excited to be hearing about that and see what the council thinks about it in the new year.
Sure. I noticed you didn't say who was making that presentation.
I believe it's Paul LeMaire, is that correct?
Okay, sure. That's the name I was hoping to hear. Thank you. Yep. He's actually he He is a very serious tugboat nerd, and he's a big cheese on the waterfront in Ohio, in the Cleveland area, I believe. And he and a team of his experts came and did a thorough examination of the tug in 2022. And so I am eager to hear his presentation. And I should just stop right there and give you time to talk about the next piece, which is about the Silver Bay Council approving their budget and levy.
So that happened this last Monday. It's that time of year. Some people think it's holidays, but really it's budget and levy time in some people's worlds. So the Silver Bay approved their levy, which they were able to reduce by 4.6%. So in September, there always is a starting point where municipalities choose a place to begin and then look at reducing it from there. So they were able to do that and passed their budget for next year. And some of their concerns that were discussed at the council meeting were related to the North Shore Mine having been in shut down for some time now and continuing through at least until April. That has a big impact on the city, not just in the some of the people who live in Silver Bay work there, but in another very big economic fashion. It is a major user of the city's utilities. So without that revenue, there's a big change in their budget, and they had to make some judicious cuts to what they were hoping to accomplish in 2023, mostly by not replacing some equipment that needs to be replaced but it's not critical. You know how it is when you have an old vehicle or some equipment still running, you try and eke out as much life out of it as you can. So that was a big change that they made to keep the levy down.
Oh, sure. And it's never simple when a significant part of your economy is dependent on an extractive industry like mining or fishing or trapping or logging or hunting or whatever. I mean, Two Harbors has been through that with the steel industry and now Silver Bay is dealing with it. And they have a tough job in front of them to get that sorted out because the operation of that plant, you know, as long as they don't rip up the tracks, there's always hope that they'll be still using that plant. And I want to be optimistic about it, and I wish them well. Your next piece here is Old Doc Reminisces column, talking about the North Shore Rotary seeking new members.
Exactly. So this is a column that's been written by Dr. Gene Cotton. Some people know him as a retired medical doctor who's lived in our community for a long, long time. And he chose this week to write about the North Shore Rotary and Club, which he has been a member of for a long time. He has a long history with the Rotary, and it's one of the ways that I know him because he was always spreading the word about are you interested in joining the Rotary? Are you interested in joining the Rotary? And he told me the other day that he's a little worried that some of the Rotarians are aging out, as he put it, and maybe not as many younger members who know about what the Rotary does. And it's a pretty neat organization. So I just wanted to point out that he wrote about it, his experiences, and what people might get out of joining if they're interested.
And what he is going to be encountering is the same thing that every other outfit encounters, that depends on volunteerism for membership and participation. In any community, there's a certain percentage of the population that are going to be volunteers. And in a small community, that group of volunteers ends up doing double duty on multiple volunteer venues, and they either age out or they burn out, and so that's a problem in a small community. I wish him luck.
Yes, indeed.
Silver Bay Library has a program called Check Us Out. You see what I did there? With Julia Clone talking about the most popular titles of 2022.
Yeah, the library is one of my favorite places in the world. Any library, we're really lucky in Lake County to have two really active libraries with amazing staff that are constantly seeking sort of new activities and options and ways to get the community involved of all ages. So I just think that's a super thing. And one thing I love this time of year is kind of that wrap up and that look back, and also the feeling of what am I going to do next year? And I always resolve to read more at this time of year. I always get that feeling of there were books that I didn't get to. So Julia, a staff person at the Silver Bay Library, provided a list of the most popular books in 2022 that were checked out. And I noticed a couple that I haven't read yet that I thought I'm going to add to my list, because it's a good time of year to be reading more books.
You bet. There's never enough time, and there's always more books. And, you know, a library fosters curiosity and then feeds that curiosity that it's fostered. And it's part of what keeps a community invested and involved and sharp. And libraries are magical.
So, agreed.
I hope that their program works well. Your final piece for today is a recycling guide. You know, with the high winds we have, we're recycling a lot of snow right now. Does that count?
I wish it did. That falls right along my conversation here at home this morning. Should I shovel the front sidewalk? Because when the wind gets really going, it's all for naught. It just gets buried right back in. So recycled snow, this particular guide has to do with recycling in Lake County, and it was written by Katya Gordon. She did a really great job of covering all the bases, because sometimes we have the will to be taking care of our garbage in ways that doesn't put it into landfills, which is something we should all be thinking about. But we don't know the details or don't have them readily accessible of what to do with them, because we can't put electronics in one spot and we can't put chemicals in another spot and we can't put construction stuff in another spot. So how do we find all that stuff? Where is it located in our county? What the hours are and what types of materials are accepted? And Katya did a great job of a thorough and descriptive piece about that. And I'm really hoping that people clip this out and, you know, tack it to the refrigerator or something. I'm going to, trust me. It'll save me a lot of time. You know, love the internet, but if I can just glance at something on the wall that tells me where my old TV should go and what time they're open, or an old mattress, or, you know, whatever the case may be, appliances, or, you know, just all of that stuff that we should be thinking about. It's a nice all-in-one spot for Lake County recyclers.
Oh, sure, you bet. And, you know, one of the things we talk about what can or cannot be recycled, it's not always because the materials themselves are not recyclable, but there is no market for the material. Mm-hmm. And so if there's no market for it, people don't want to pick it up for recycling. It has to go some other place, you know, besides mm-hmm. the garage and the attic and the basement. I think that should be a good article, and I think that recycling should be on everyone's mind. I mean, just plastic bags. Every time you eat something, there's more plastic to get rid of, mm-hmm. and we all eat. So, yeah. Is there anything else that had to get out right now, Kitty?
There's just one more thing, Tom, that I'll share this week. There's an awesome article in this week's edition by Steve Wilson, who is part of the Audubon's Christmas Bird Count for the Isabella Area Circle. And I just want to remind people that he is a very tongue-in-cheek writer who provides some wonderful information about counting birds and how to get involved with that. And and he's a funny guy. Please read with your willingness to laugh intact.
Very good. I appreciate that. To our listeners at home, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you too, Kitty, as well. Thank you, and bye for now.
Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.